Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skeptic Beliefs, where we get close to that which we don't understand. Join us for the next hour as we look into a world you never knew existed. And now for your host, W.B. Ward.
Wow, how's the winter been where you live so far? The weather here has just been nuts. Last Sunday, I'm here in Tulsa, for those of you who are at home keeping score. Last Sunday, it was like in the 20s. Right now, we're riding at 80 degrees. This is just nuts. I've had the windows open all day. I mean, it's just been gorgeous, and it's supposed to be continued beautiful all the way through our weekend up here, and probably an ice storm sometime next week, followed by a tornado or something like that. But between now and then, I'm just going to count my blessings and take this good weather as I get it. Well, it is Thursday, and here we are as we count down the days to the Mayan prophecy of December 21st, 2012. And that leaves us with exactly 3 years, 9 months, 15 days, 6 hours, 59 minutes, and 2 seconds until, according to the Mayans, the end of the world. So keep your bills paid up. Huh? And speaking of time, don't forget this Saturday night before you go to bed. That's just simply the day after tomorrow. Before you go to bed, be sure to set your clocks ahead. It's going to be spring forward this Saturday night. Spring forward, fall back. You remember the old say. Well, we have a really cool guest lined up for us today in just a few minutes. A man by the name of Tim Link is going to be joining us. Tim is an interspecies communicator. Now, in other words, he can communicate with animals like no one else. And hopefully he's going to give us some tips on how we can better communicate with our pets. And please, feel free to call into the show, and you can ask him about your pet. I know for a fact we have a person over in the chat room right now who is wondering about her cat. And I hope she calls in with a question on that, because I'm sure Tim's going to be able to help her out with that. Now, I'm glad you could be with us today, because I have something especially for the people who are listening live. And this has not been announced. So you guys, just by virtue of the fact that you're here, you have an advantage over everybody else on this, okay? Because you're the first ones to actually hear about this. Now, some of you know I have a few CDs of piano and guitar music that I've recorded, and you can, of course, see them on my website. And we have one scheduled for release at the beginning of next week. Now, I'm going to be giving away one of those CDs during this hour sometime, and all you have to do in order to win this is really simple. In a new window on your computer, be sure you open up a new window so you don't lose the show. Open up a new window on your computer. Go to my website, wbward.com. Now, somewhere on that website is a hidden message. And while you're listening to the show, you can look for that, because it's nothing real deep that's going to take a lot of thought. So you'll be able to pay attention to the show and everything like that while you're doing this. The only thing I'll tell you about what the message is this: you will know it when you find it. Okay. You will know the hidden message when you find it. Now, when you find it, come right back here and call us live. It's 646-727-2545, or you can use your click to talk button right there on the screen to connect. Be the first person to identify what the message is and where you found it on the website. If you do that, you'll win your choice of any one of the CDs. Now, by the way, in the interest of fair disclosure, I'm not going to be sending you an actual CD through the mail. I'm going to be providing you with the MP3s, and I'm doing that for two reasons. If I send you MP3s, you can get it a lot quicker, and the quality is just as good. You know, it's digital and stuff like that. And the biggest reason I'm doing it that way is because I'm saving a fortune on shipping. I'm cheaper than a Tuesday night hooker, so I try to say, hey, save a buck any way I can. But you will still get the same quality content as before. So, well, with that in mind, just be sure you do it in the new window so you don't lose the broadcast. Now, if you happen to be new to Blog Talk Radio, or you're new to my show, we want you to know exactly how things work around here. So, Mr. Wingfield, if you would please let everybody know how to use Blog Talk Radio.
Skeptic Beliefs is very proud to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and there are some really great features about the site that you need to know. First, if you're listening to the live broadcast of the show and you'd like to take part, all you have to do is call us at 646-727-2545. But if your computer is equipped with a mic and headphones, all you have to do is press the Click to Talk button, and your computer will be connected to us immediately. Be sure to turn down the speakers, though. Next, if you look at the Blog Talk player, you will see a little red heart. If you click on the red heart, you will mark this show as a favorite, and you will be emailed a notice an hour before airtime reminding you that a show is coming up. But a really cool thing on the player is a little orange square. That's the RSS feed. If you click on that, you will receive last-minute announcements about the show sent automatically to your home page. And of course, there's the little round button marked iTunes. This program is available through iTunes as a podcast. Just click on that button and your favorite episode will be sent to your iPod for your enjoyment at your convenience. And finally, if you scroll down just a little and look to the right, you'll see a box called Promote This Show. When you click on this box, you'll get the code where you can actually install the player directly onto your blog or website, including MySpace and Facebook. You'll be able to listen to any of the archived shows from your website 24 hours a day. Skeptic Beliefs, and it's all here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
And speaking of today's show, let me ask you, do you have a family pet? If you do, you've probably already discovered that communicating with your pet is something that you do better than anybody else at all. It's almost as if you are the one and only Dr. Doolittle.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a...
But is it really possible to communicate with your pet on a level where true understanding occurs? Joining us on the show right now is Tim Link, animal communicator and author of the book Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, which will be coming out on May 1st. Mr. Tim, please tell me, if you will, when did you first notice that you had this amazing ability, and how did you discover it?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you and all the listeners out there.
My pleasure.
I sort of stumbled upon this gift. I guess it's always been there, but I really stumbled upon it in earnest about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The story's kind of unique. We had went to a workshop by a animal communicator by the name of Judy Byers, the late Judy Byers. And Judy had been working with animals and doing a lot of metaphysical work and things of this sort, things to get you into meditation and opening yourself up, et cetera. She'd been doing this for over 30 years. And we had heard of Judy, and Judy was coming to town. I'm here in Atlanta, and my wife had wanted to visit with Judy, attend one of the one-day workshops, and sort of a birthday present for her. And so I decided to tag along. We love animals, so I decided to tag along. And keep in mind, at this time, I was a telecom executive. I was a vice president for a major telecommunications company, had been in telecom. Yeah. So at that time, I'd been in telecom for 15 years. And finished up a career in telecom after 20 years. But in this particular case, we went to this workshop. We did a series of opening up our chakras and meditating and calming ourselves down. And then the individuals, everybody in the room, would bring pictures of their animals in and ask questions that they were the only ones that knew the answers to. And we proceeded to focus in on the pictures and open up our minds and our hearts to be able to talk to these animals. And lo and behold, I was getting all the questions correct. I was getting all the answers back for all the questions that these people had, and they were the only ones that knew it. And then that followed up by bringing in live animals. There was the host house and a few other people brought in their own animals, and they asked us questions to ask the animals and see what we got back in return. And I was getting bombarded with a series of words, pictures, emotions, you name it, and everything was hitting perfectly.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So needless to say, I was quite amazed. I was thrilled, but I was wondering, what the heck is a vice president of a telecommunications company going to do with this?
Well, I know somebody who used to work at a helpline on a cell phone company, and from the way they talked, that was pretty much like talking with animals anyway. So sounds like to me, you might have had an advantage there.
Yeah, I think so.
First off, can you hear me okay? I'm hearing some really strange things in my headphones.
Yeah, I can hear you great. It's coming through great.
Okay, if somebody's got a poor connection with me on the line. My apologies, but there are some things technologically that I have absolutely no control over. Now, I have just a dump truck of questions to ask you, but let me go over to the phone lines real quick. I don't know if this is a person calling in for the contest or if somebody has a question for you. I know somebody was asking about their cat earlier. Let's go over here. Caller on Skype, you're on the air with us today. Did you have a question or a comment?
Hi, this is Kay.
Hi, Kay. How you doing?
I'm good. Yes, I do have a question about, I have a cat. She's a female cat, and her name is Shorty. I feel like she talks to me. Is that correct?
Well, they definitely, you know, that is true. You're open to being able to receive this as well. And as WB mentioned, you know, it's you have the closest connection with your pet. And so if you open yourself up to it, you can definitely understand what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah, well, she echoes my sound in her voice.
Are you, Kay, are you talking like what a parrot would do when they're just mimicking what you're saying?
Right, yeah. Well, I do have two parakeets, but Shorty, like, I'll do things. I'll say good morning, and she's morning. You know, it doesn't sound directly like morning, but I feel like she knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, tell me one thing. Whenever your cat starts talking, do the birds generally answer, or is this the case where the cat answers?
No, the birds do not talk to Shorty. The birds talk to me.
I'm sorry. The audience just had to respond to that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Kay, the big question I've got for you, though, is so she mimics, she answers your questions
in
the verbal
tone. That's
right. She mimics
you. She mimics me.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big question to you is, does she mimic you in other ways? Has she taken on any of the things that you like to do, your rituals, your routines during the day, your habits? Does she mirror you in a lot of ways?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing we tell people, you know, the fact that our animals a lot of times will mirror us in good and bad ways. So if we're putting out, we'll say, I call it energy. So if we're putting out a lot of positive energy, if we're in a good mood and we're happy and we're following our routine and everything's going splendidly, guess what? Our animals, everything's going splendidly with them.
Okay,
but if we put out that negative
energy,
it's different.
I'm a psychic myself. And I think that she picks up on things even about myself.
Well, they're very, you know, they're very intuitive. They're very open. They don't get hung up on egos. They don't get hung up on, you know, competing with the Joneses. Exactly. But the cool thing about it is, and sometimes not so cool thing, is they pick up on our energy as well. So, you know,
can you pick up on her and tell me what's going on with her?
Yeah, well, she's in a pretty good place right now, but she's feeling a little, has she had some allergy problems because I'm picking up some itching?
Yes, she does.
Okay, yeah, so I think that's still coming on.
More in the eyes.
Okay, yep, exactly. So, and you want to watch that, especially as we get into the springtime, because if they're environmentally triggered, you know, we want to be careful of that. And you got to keep in mind, even is she an indoor-outdoor cat or just an indoor
cat?
She's
an indoor cat.
Okay, so sometimes people will think, hey, you know, how can they have environmental allergies if they never go outside? But, you know, we bring in that pollen. We bring in tracking things.
And the thing is, you open the window for them.
Exactly, exactly. So you got to be careful of that as we're waiting in the springtime. If this ever craziness of weather corrects itself, those allergies could creep up.
Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
I have two parakeets. It's a male and female. How does she think about them?
Not much.
Watch them sometimes if I bring them out in the living room.
Yeah, they're interesting to her. They're not like totally captivating. You know, if she checks in on them every once in a while to make sure that
she doesn't want
to
eat them anymore, does she?
No, I don't think that at all. But you got to keep her involved in it. So if you're spending quality time with them, then you want her in and around the situation. You know, she doesn't have to be there in your lap, but she has to be the one that is the helper. She wants to help you. So, no, I don't get the, you know, I wouldn't necessarily trust them in the same room, out and about, open together. But
now, you know what, I can go and go grocery shop and leave, you know, I basically keep them in the bathroom. I have a big bathroom, and I have the door open, and I don't always shut the door, but I go by my instinct, and sometimes I shut it, because I know she's only a cat, you know. But
well, I would think that the natural instincts would kick in with the birds, and they would just automatically defend themselves and go up to some high place in the room. I don't
know. Well, they're in a bird cage.
Oh, okay.
I would never let them set free because she's a cat, you know.
Yeah.
It's her normal instinct to go for birds.
Right. But keeping her involved, you know, with it as you're changing the water and putting the new seed and the millet in there and everything, having her nearby as a helper, I think they definitely love jobs, and that's a be a good one for her.
I think she knows that her and I are partners as well as Lavi and Haji. They're male and female. She thinks, hey, you know, me, Shorty, and I are partners. You know, I think that's how she thinks about it. Is that true?
Yeah, it's you and her, and she wants to help you out with everything you do, and you know, use her. You guys have a great connection together, so definitely.
I think so too.
Love that. Sure.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
great,
it.
Sure. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye bye.
Well, you know, it seems to me that there are there certainly seems to be people who are more inclined to be with their animals than others, and she certainly seems to have a very strong connection with her pets. And I've noticed too that she has two of the four main categories of pets: cats, dogs, birds, fish. Of those four categories, which one is the easiest to communicate with?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, those five categories as well as everything else, there's no particular category that's easier than others. It's all based on the individual personality. So it's just like humans. There are certain, you know, females, are they easier to talk to than males? You know, it just depends on how you put your energy
out.
Oh,
boy, I've got some suggestions on that one.
Well, my wife's not too far away here, so I'm going to keep that one down low. But but it's really each individual animal has their own personality, their own energy signature, and some are more talkative and some are not. And, you know, the cool thing about this WB is, you know, the animals choose to communicate with me in different fashions. So some will feel more comfortable with me, you know, just being a simple human. Some will be more comfortable with giving me words. Others will give me pictures or feelings. The cat that we just spoke to, immediately itchiness came over my body in my eyes and my ears, and that triggered and let me know that, hey, she's communicating back to me that these allergies are bothering her. So that's what I pick up, and that's what I give back to the human companion, the owner, to let them know that, hey, this is what I'm feeling. This is what she's sharing with me.
Wow. Oh, we have a caller standing by calling from my backyard here, somewhere here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma caller, you're on the air with us now. Do you have a question or a comment?
Sure I do. This is Michael.
Oh, Michael. What's shaking, dude?
Well, I thought of an idea, something I really would like to ask the gentleman. I do breed-specific purebred rescue, and I've had to put animals to sleep for various reasons, but I've actually been having quite a bit of trouble with this last one. This was a dog that we fostered at my home, and there was a dog fight at my house, and my wife was trying to get our dog outside. He had grabbed the foster dog by the nape of the neck. He swung around and ripped her arm wide open, but we still felt like he was okay because it was just a reaction thing. We put him in boarding. He went to another home, and he got kind of aggressive with some other people, and the board made the decision to put this dog to sleep. I wanted to be the one to be with him because he knew me longer than anybody else. We went. We got a hamburger. We rode over there with the windows down, and I stayed with him to the very end. And I just don't feel like we gave that dog every chance we could have, and I was wondering what she thought. His name is Justice.
Justice. Is this a large breed dog, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, is this the Doberman German Shepherd family? I'm picking up Doberman, but...
No, the Boxer.
No. Boxer, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, the nice thing about, you know, the greatest thing about animals is, you know, they don't get hung up on past. They don't get, you know, they understand their past, they understand things that happen, but they don't get hung up on it and worry about the past. They live in the moment and they transition in that moment, and they're here for a purpose. And when they transition, you know, they let go of all that past. So I think the greatest thing from what I'm receiving back is, you know, you were there, you understood him, and you were there having a great last moment of time with him. And I know he appreciates that, and that's what he's focused most on, not the fact that it seems like these small instances he had, though they were violent, you know, not, I shouldn't use the word violent, but, you know, he did have that reactionary where he did bite your wife and someone else. I don't think that was a permanent type of thing. It wasn't something where he was an aggressive type of dog. I think it was something where he was a little fearful, a little confused about what the situation was, and just sort of reacted in a negative manner. So okay. I think the nice thing about it, you know, the thing to keep in mind, though, is you did the right thing at the end as far as you were there with him. You supported him, gave him great last days, and he knew that love, and he knew you actually cared for him. So focus on that. That was a great thing you did.
All right. Thanks.
Mike, while you're on the phone there, Mike and I were talking earlier in the week, and if I remember right, didn't you tell me that your organization also has a pet that is missing right now?
That is true. We do.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about the missing pet, if you can. Maybe Tim can pick up on something on this missing animal.
Well, her name is Mona. She's a boxer as well. She had just been adopted. Her new family was walking her out in the woods, and right at the moment that the new mom was switching hands with the leash, something fell in the woods, spooked the dog, and she ran. And they have been trying for weeks to find this dog, and they can't find her.
Yeah, I think she's with someone else now. I see her with someone else. I think she's safe. But I tell you what I'd like to do, Michael, is we'll take this off air. If you would like to visit my website and drop me an email. Lost animals are a little bit tricky and takes a lot more time, but since you're working with a rescue group, I want to definitely help out. So if you drop me a line, give me the details, I'll communicate back with you and see if we can give you a little bit more insight and maybe give them some direction to go with.
Okay, thanks.
Now, his website is wagging-tales.com, wagging-tales.com. And, of course, you can go on my website, wbward.com, and you can find the link to it there as well. So if you forget what it is, that's going to be an easy way. And Michael is a personal friend of mine. So, of course, Mike, you can just call me, too, and say, hey, Bill, what's this guy's number? I'll get you all hooked up in some way or another on that.
All right. Well, give me a call after the show.
Will do. All right,
okay,
Mike.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Mike has been head of the Tulsa Boxer Rescue. Well, not the head of it. Excuse me. He was the in charge of the economics of it or something like that for an awful long time. And I know he's a very active advocate for animal rescue, particularly among boxers and stuff. They really care for their animals. I've been over to his house many times. It's like walking into a kennel at times because the amount of animals that he has rescued, it's just incredible. Have you been part of many rescues or?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just finished my tenure as president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County, which is a
wow.
large county in the northern part of Atlanta. And we're a no-kill shelter and been around since 1975. And we adopt out about 500 dogs and cats a year. And then we have a separate feral cat program where we do a trap neuter release. And we assist about additional 1,000 cats each year with that type of program. So, yeah, animal rescue is in my blood. I've been doing it for quite some time. And as a matter of fact, my new book that's coming out May 1st, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tell, a portion of all proceeds will go back to animal rescue organizations across the nation. So big proponent in helping save the animals out there.
I was going to talk to you about your book, but since you brought it up, now the book is due out May 1st. Where will the book be available?
It'll be available nationwide, so you know, it's a great little book. We'll have it. If you go to my website and you sign up for my free newsletter, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with the book. But we're going to have it available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as major bookstores across the nation. We're going out on tour starting in May and hitting quite a few cities. We haven't pinpointed all of them yet, but I'm sure there'll be one near the Oklahoma area.
By the way, you got a snazzy looking newsletter there too. By the way,
thank you. Yeah, we're real proud of it, and I have to give big kudos. My wife puts it all together and puts some great information in there. And the nice thing about the newsletter, in addition to being free and telling you all about all the stuff that I'm involved in, it also has helpful hints. We usually include two or three helpful hints of various types. And this month's newsletter covers aquariums, how to choose the right fish and how to set up your aquarium. And the second part is dealing with vaccinations and tithers for animals. You know, which vaccinations do you need and what are some options you have? And so it's a great little newsletter. It's absolutely free. We put it out the first of every month. So everybody go to wagging-tales.com, T-A-L-E-S, and sign up for the free newsletter. And it'll tell you about the book as well. The book is basically a compilation of stories, real true life stories, 32 stories of animals I've worked with. And these are animals that have had behavioral issues, changes in their behavior, identified some medical issues long before the veterinarians identified them. We deal with lost animals in there and finding them and bringing them back home, as well as dealing with animals that are either in the transition process of, you know, passing over or have passed over, to better understand that and get you through the grieving process. So it's a fun, heartfelt book. It'll pull at your heartstrings as well as give you a good laugh, and we're real proud of it and real excited about it coming out May 1st.
Wow. Well, we had a caller up from North Carolina who's in line, but I see they've dropped off. It must be one of those pesky little cell phones. They must have the same service that I do. Your book sounds like it's going to be really interesting, but let me ask you something about something that's been in the news recently. As I'm curious to see if maybe you might have picked up something on this. If you haven't, that's fine. I'm just kind of curious. We've all heard the story about Travis, 15-year-old chimpanzee who bit off this lady's face up in Stanford, Connecticut. Are you familiar with the news story?
Yes, I am. Yes.
I'm just wondering, when you heard about that story, did you pick up anything from the chimp, or were the people doing anything wrong that they shouldn't have been doing, or was there something they should have been doing that they weren't, or just what's the deal on that?
Well, you know, my perception on it, you know, everything I've picked up on it, I think it was a momentary type of thing. And, you know, it's one of those things where he didn't really realize what he had done until it was after it was been completed. I think he feels really bad about the whole situation. The challenge you have is, you know, you're taking a animal that's meant to be in the wild, an animal that has much greater strength than a human, and mm-hmm. you're trying to treat them like a normal household pet. And that, in my opinion, that's a extreme challenge. It's something that's not fair to the animal, and there are better ways to go around helping that animal. And so we see situations like this appear in the news from time to time, and it's just a shame because it's not fair for the animal, and when something does happen, you know, the animal gets blamed, and it's not necessarily totally their fault.
Well, you know, when this happened, you know, of course, Congress came into picture on this. They passed some kind of bill that makes it illegal to transport the primates across state lines, which in this case wouldn't have done anything unless the chimp picked up its victim and crossed the state line or something. But I'm not really sure what that solved. But what do I know? My favorite color is plaid. But since we're on the topic, of exotic animals, are there any exotic animals that people that would be okay for somebody to have as a domestic pet, or is this pretty much something left up to the pros?
Well, in my opinion, I think it's left up to the pros. You know, you have to have the right environment for them, and it's not in a house. You know, you have to have them in an area where they can get plenty of exercise, where they can be mentally stimulated, they can be physically stimulated. You know, and that's true for all animals, but more so when you're talking about animals that, you know, that are exotic animals. So my opinion, you know, I would rather see, you know, these type of animals be left to their natural environments. And when they can't be left to their natural environments, say in situations where they've been abandoned or orphaned or injured, where they can't be re-released, then let's get them into facilities that know how to treat them, know how to work with them, can mentally and physically stimulate them, provide them the right environment, and also provide us an educational forum that we can go in and learn about these animals. That's what I would rather see, and there's plenty of other animals out there that need our help and that we can bring into our households and have as great loving companions, and I'd rather see us go that route.
A number of years back, I had a Cocker Spaniel, which in my opinion was the best pet I ever had in my life. It was very intelligent. His name was Dozer, and at the time, I went through a traumatic period of my life, and I wound up becoming very depressed for a while. I noticed during my depression that Dozer would just mope around the house, and as you alluded to a while ago, they animals will reflect our mood. Dozer certainly did that, and he stayed that way for an awful long time, and I wound up finding another home for him, and I know he's in loving arms now, so I don't have any problem with that. But besides maybe picking myself up, is there some other way I could have handled Dozer so he wouldn't have been just so draggy around, or what should I have done?
Well, you know, the animals that we have in our lives, they are a mirror of us, and the nice thing, I think, is when you start to see your animal develop some behavioral changes, say they go from a very happy puppy to a very depressed puppy, that's a great opportunity for you to step back, take a deep breath, and analyze what's going on with you. Because they will try to deflect as much of that negative energy as possible, but there comes a point when they have to absorb it because it's just too much. It's like being around that friend of yours who is always down about everything. You know, you may like this person, but within 10 minutes, all of a sudden, no matter how good of a mood you were in, you're now down and depressed and upset and mad at the world. Same thing with animals. They'll absorb that. And so, you know, I think it's an opportunity to, you know, take a look at, see what's going on with the animal, get yourself realigned, take that deep breath, do the things you need to do and make yourself feel good and feel positive, and you'll be amazed at how well the animal will respond and how positive they turn out to be.
Now, both with Dozer, of course, I was noticing the way he was crawling around and hanging his head down. I mean, this was quite obvious. He was also just in the down and out mopes. But whenever you're communicating with an animal, how much does body language play into the role with what you do?
Well, body language really doesn't play a whole lot into that role, other than that they show me the image of that. Because keep in mind, I can communicate with these animals, just like we did earlier with the cat, from anywhere. I'm on a phone, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and people are calling in from Oklahoma, North Carolina, etc. And so I'm tapping into that energy and communicating with those animals. So the body language, only time it ever comes into effect is if I'm there in person, yeah, maybe I'll notice it a little bit. But more importantly, if the animal's projecting that back to me, if they feel that the best way to communicate with me is to show me that they're hanging their head low and then they're moping around, if they feel that's the best way to communicate with me, that's what they'll show me.
Okay, I want you to hang on just a second. Bear with me. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be taking some more of your calls at 646-727-2545 here momentarily. So if you do have a question for our guest today, please feel free to call in. Also, we're still looking for a winner on the hidden message. In a new window, in case you didn't hear earlier, open up a new window in your computer, and then go over to my website, wbward.com. Somewhere on the website is a hidden message. You'll know it when you find it, and if you're the first person to call me to tell me what the hidden message was and where it was you found it, if you can do that, you're going to get one of my CDs, or rather an MP3 of one of my CDs. You're going to have that sent right to you. So give us a call, 646-727-2545. More with Tim Link in just a moment.
WBWard.com.
Here's what's coming up in your near future here on Skeptic Beliefs. On April the 2nd, Rosanna Ionco is going to be joining us. She's the best-selling author of the book Awakening the Divine Soul. The book gives its readers a journey that will lead to a life of fulfillment. You'll be able to connect with your spirit guides, angels, power animals, and even your departed loved ones. Join us for an hour of self-enlightened chat on April the 2nd with Rosanna Ionco. And then on March 26th, Anna Maria Prezio joins us. Get your room straightened up. That's the cry of many frustrated mothers, but did Mom have something else in mind than just tidiness? Anna Maria Prezio thinks so. She wrote the book called Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster, and she uses this ancient art / science to increase personal fulfillment and even financial success. Tune in on March 26th and find out how with Anna Maria Prezio. On March 19th, we'll be joined by Joey Korn. The word dowsing conjures up an image of someone holding onto a forked branch as they desperately search for a source of water. But suppose you found out that it goes way beyond that. Besides looking for water, lost items, or even treasure, suppose you found out that you could even find yourself and discover the treasures hidden within. Joey Korn joins us on March 19th. Then next week, right here on Skeptic Beliefs, the lost continent of Atlantis, a subject of mystery and wonder. Many have studied this mysterious land, but none has studied it in the way of Linnea Lee. Her studies of this lost continent led her to write Of Atlantis, an epic fantasy novel based upon the king of Atlantis, Archimedes. Tune in and listen to her story and the research which led her to write fiction based on what many believes as fact. Next week, it's Linnea Lee, right here on Skeptic Beliefs. And between now and then, don't forget to visit our website, wbward.com. Once there, you'll be able to look at all the past guests that we've had, as well as some other future guests that are coming up as well. You'll be able to look into our souvenir shop, check out the CD collection that we have available. While you're there, don't forget to sign up to receive Ward's Daily Almanac. It's delivered free of charge to your email Monday through Friday, and we never, never, never sell your email address. So go on there and subscribe today to Ward's Daily Almanac, and you can do that at wbward.com.
wbward.com.
A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Boy, it would be so easier to communicate with animals if they could communicate with us like Mr. Ed did, but there's just no such luck on that, huh, Tim?
Well, I tell you, I think Mr. Ed gave a lot of people grief, so I don't know if I want to deal with a Mr. Ed every day.
there's a great opportunity here for an ex-wife joke, but I think I'll just kind of breeze right on by this one. But you know, that does beg the question. You do really good with communicating with animals. How are you with humans?
Well, actually, quite good. I think part of it is, my past career in as a telecom manager. I was in sales, so you know, I'm always talking to people. But I get asked that question a lot. You know, they said, you can talk to the animals, but can you pick up on people? And they're usually wondering if I'm picking up on what they're thinking right at this moment. And I sort of just choose to give them a sly grin and try to move on to the next topic as quickly as I can.
Well, now I would be remiss in my talk show host duties if I didn't ask this, because I mean, you just opened the door wide as can be here. But when you're with an animal and the animal's owner, and you're communicating with the animal, how much do the thoughts of the owner come into play as you're trying to communicate with their pet?
Well, I think that, the thoughts of the owners don't interfere with what I'm doing, because I am connected with that animal and I'm really communicating with them. It's like, if there's two people in a room and you're trying to hold a conversation with one, you really want to keep your focus on that one individual and not worry about the second. And that's what I try to accomplish. But where it does come into play, though, to be honest with you, is based on our past our conversation a little bit earlier, is what is that the energy that person's putting off? What is that person thinking or doing, or what's going on in their life that's impacting this animal? And so a lot of times the animal will choose to share some of that information with me so I can relate it back to your human companion to say, hey, you may want to correct this issue because it's upsetting your animal. And so, you will pick up on what's going on with the person as well, because that has a major impact on how your animal's doing.
Now, telepathy aside, is there any truth at all to the notion that a person will generally pick a pet that physically resembles them? if so, that explains Mike's attraction to boxers.
Well, I don't know, but that does happen quite often, and I don't know if that's like picking a wife that's like your mom. That's a scary thought too. So I don't even want to go there.
Well, you know, I didn't think about this, but, you know, a Cocker Spaniel is known for real long, thick, wavy hair, and I have real long, thick, wavy hair, so maybe there was something there.
Well, you know, a lot of times we think we're the best-looking person around, so why not get a pet that looks like us?
I can say unequivocally I am the best-looking person in my room right now.
Exactly.
Then again, there's not exactly very many other people here either. Hey, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but you sent me some information in regards to, I believe it would be pronounced Reiki Energy Healing?
Yeah, Reiki Energy Healing.
Reiki, what the heck is that?
Well, Reiki Energy Healing is a form of energy healing has been around for thousands of years. So energy healing is, in particular with Reiki, is a hands-off approach that you're giving energy to the pet. You're opening up their chakras so they can have their energy flow smoothly in and out of them and get rid of any blockages, because blockages are the things that cause issues with us. Blockages are things where if we have a blockage in our crown chakra, we can't communicate that.
When you say blockage, you didn't know this, but you're talking to a guy who just recently went through bypass surgery. So when you say blockage, I get a very specific image in mind. Is it the same thing?
Well, it's not a medical thing as far as if I do Reiki energy healing on you, for say, I will not necessarily be able to open up that blockage in your heart and allow it to function properly. But I will be able to find out what chakra is associated with your heart, which there is a heart chakra, and help you open that up so you can get rid of some of that discomfort, some of that dis-ease. It can actually allow that energy to flow through properly. And that's what we do with animals. And that's part of the thing that, you know, with using Reiki energy healing, we find out where the blockages are, find out where those chakras are closed, and see if we can open them up to make your animal feel much better.
Okay. All right. Okay. But since I brought up the idea of blockages, what is your success rate as far as healing an animal or having something to do with healing an animal of a physical ailment?
Well, the key thing here is, you know, I'm not a veterinarian, and all
right,
I have
right.
to work with is what I get back from the animal, and to use the Reiki energy healing to try to open up their chakras and try to open up and balance the person. So as far as healing is concerned, can it heal them from a physical ailment? Well, it can certainly help do that. It can. I wouldn't say go as far as saying it would totally heal them of a disease, but by using the combination of Reiki and animal communication, I can identify where problems are and see if we can solve them earlier. So a great example of that is we've got a story in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, and it's about a cat. And the cat, I met the cat in person, so I took the opportunity of not only communicating with the cat, but also using Reiki energy healing to find out where there's some blockages. And as I scan through the body, you know, I start at the top and work my way down. As I scan through there, I identified some real tingling sensations, some real pin needle type sensations in my hand around the area where the kidney or the liver, the internal organs are. And as I continue to work with this cat and continue to identify where the potential problem was, the cat communicated to me and said there was a problem with her kidneys. Now, I asked the owner at that time, the human companion, as I call him, and said, is there a problem? Have you identified any issues with the kidneys? Is there any excessive drinking, urination, things that would be associated with potential kidney issues? And she said, no, we had done some blood work 2 or 3 months ago and haven't found anything wrong, but if you think there's a problem, I definitely want to get it checked out. I said, well, I have to leave that up to you and your veterinarian. You choose to do that. And so she did, took the cat in. The veterinarian sort of looked at her saying, well, you know, wait a minute. We just did this 3 months ago. I don't think much has changed, but if you really want it done, we'll check it out. And she said, great, pay special attention to the kidneys. Find out if there's something going on with the kidneys. And lo and behold, the results came back, and the cat was in early stages of kidney failure.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So they immediately changed the diet, put them on some some antibiotics, put them on some probiotics, cleared out that area. Cat's doing much better, is much healthier, getting around perfectly fine now.
So actually you don't help with the curing process, but you are a tremendous aid in the diagnosis.
Yeah, so looking at the diagnosis, find out what the problems are, getting the animal to share with me what they're feeling. We can give some suggestions on what is going on based on what I'm feeling and what the animal's feeling, and give you some ammunition, I guess we'll say, to go into your veterinarian and say, hey, here's what we're feeling, here's what we're picking up, here are the symptoms, but also here's why things are happening. And it gives, you know, gives the veterinarian and you an opportunity to catch things in the early stages.
Absolutely remarkable. 646-727-2545 is the number to call, or you can click the talk button on your computer and talk through your microphone. Either way, be sure your speakers are turned down. I see a hand raised up over in the switchboard. I believe this is probably Mike calling back. Are you there, Mr. Michael?
Yeah, it's me again. I was just thinking, I was wondering, it's funny that he mentioned what he just did, because I was going to ask him what was his greatest success in all the work that he's done, and I don't know if the cat was or if he's got something even greater than that.
Well, I tell you, Mike,
that is kind of a tough act to follow there.
Well, I tell you, yeah. Well, I appreciate calling back in. You know, I tell you, every instance we've had has just been great. Just being able to give the animals a voice and be able to help them out, you know, that's what I'm truly here for. The cat story is a great story. We've got another wonderful story in the book about a cat who was lost, who actually jumped out of their fourth story floor of their apartment complex in the Bronx, New York, never been outside before, declawed, no collar, no tag, no chip, and all of a sudden couldn't figure out how to get back in the apartment complex. And we worked with the cat for 3 weeks to identify where the cat was, where it was staying, how we could get the cat to come back. And as we got down towards the end, the cat shared with us that it was actually scared to come back because there was a black feral cat, you know, wild cat, there near the apartment complex that was not altered, had not been neutered, and he would not let any cat near his area. So I asked the human companion, was there, in fact, a black cat that she knew of that hung around the apartment complex? She confirmed with me, yes, there was. It's a stray cat. It's a feral cat. And I'd be glad to set up a trap to see if we can catch it, go get it fixed, take it to a safe place, and allow my cat to come back. I said, great. Here's where you want to put the trap. We'll focus on getting that black cat in there. Now, keep in mind, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm nowhere near the Bronx, New York.
Right.
But we told that black cat to focus on this cage. Come in there. It'll be a nice, warm place for him, safe meal. We'll get him to a better place. We did that. That next morning, the cat was in the cage. Took it away, got it fixed, got it in a great place where to a colony where this lady takes care of feral cats, set the trap up again, told the cat that had jumped out of the apartment complex where this trap would be, tell him that it was safe to come back now. The very next morning after that, the cat was there. Cat's back home, safe, great. And needless to say, it has a collar and a tag and a microchip now. So it's so there's a great example of a cat. Yeah, so, you know, these are great, and these are real true-life stories, and, you know, it's just amazing. I still get astonished by when we have, you know, successes like this and helping these animals out, and that's truly what I'm here for.
Now, Mike, I know you're driving around, so you can't listen on the Internet. I'm just going to put your call on mute, so if you have another question, just hit that number one key so your hand will go up again, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, now, you mentioned about this cat told you about a larger cat that it frightened him and wouldn't come back. But if I remember right, didn't I read somewhere about one lost animal in particular told you that they would not return home because this animal thought that a coyote was there? What was that about?
Yeah, exactly. We had a situation where coyotes, you know, as we continue to invade their environment by building, you know, shopping plazas and new home developments, et cetera, their territory's crunching back into, you know, what we call the suburbs. And so in this particular situation, as part of the area was experiencing that same type of growth, coyotes were now coming into the backyards of people. And this particular lady had six cats that were indoor-outdoor cats, so they were free to go come in and go out whenever they want to. And three coyotes showed up, and chased the cats. Fortunately, didn't get any of the cats. They all scrambled in different directions and up trees and in houses, et cetera. The one took off for the woods and has chosen not to come back. And this has been going on. I communicate with this animal periodically. This has been well over a year. And a cat, even though the coyotes haven't been seen since then, I reassure the cat that it's safe to come back. The cat says, I thank you, but no, I don't believe you.
I think given the circumstances, I would make the same conclusion.
Exactly. Thank you, sir, but no, I'm not coming back there. So I began asking the cat at least to show itself periodically so people could see it and see it's still alive. And the cat's alive and well. It's been spotted in and around the neighborhood for over the past year. But it just chose not to come home. And, you know, I tell people that, you know, I deal a lot with lost animal cases. I deal with lost animals from all over the, not only the U.S., but all over the world. And there are situations where even if your animal's alive and well, they can't come back or they choose not to come back. Maybe a predator scared them off and they refuse to come back. Could be that their mission is done. Maybe they've completed all they've wanted to with you and your family, and now they want to go off and help another person or family with the same type of situation.
Mission. Now you sparked my curiosity. What do you mean by mission?
Well, my philosophy on life is that we're all brought down here for a mission, for a purpose. We're all the same energy, the same source energy, universal energy, God energy, however you want to label this. And we all choose what we want to be, so animals and humans alike. We come down here for a mission and purpose, and we work diligently to try to fulfill that mission and purpose and before we transition on to the next life. And unfortunately, as humans, we get caught up in this thing called life. You know, I talked earlier about egos and, you know, getting the biggest house and the 2.5 kids and the perfect car and all that. So we tend to not – we either forget our mission or we're so bogged down with things that a lot of us – go through our whole existence here at this time without ever finding out what we're really here for.
How much do egos play in with an animal?
Well, the nice thing about animals is they don't have egos. They don't deal with that. They understand their past, but they don't get bogged down with it. So, you know, animals have had hard lives, as we call it, for the first part of their lives. They understand it, but they don't get bogged down with that part of it. They focus on what they're supposed to be doing right here at this moment and ultimately getting to whatever their end purpose and their end mission is. And it could be with you and your family. It could be with multiple families. You know, there's a lot of different reasons, but they stay true to course. They focus on it, and they do everything they possibly can to accomplish that. And we
since
can,
we're talking
humans,
about – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so as humans, we can only hope that sometime in this lifetime we – slow down and open ourselves up enough to realize that, hey, we've got a mission and purpose, and we need to identify that and get on board, hop on the boat, and get going. And that's what I think – that's why I'm here.
Okay. For those of you who are listening in and have always wondered why on Blog Talk Radio Network do you hear people talking over each other occasionally, keep in mind that there's like a 4-second delay between the time one person stops talking and the other person actually hears it. So sometimes, unfortunately, it means that conversations roll into each other. Nobody's being rude to each other or anything. It's just an unforeseen thing. Since we were on the topic of lost pets, obviously, you know, you look around town, you'll see these laminated animals that say lost animal. There's a reward. You'll call. It has a number. Besides putting signs around the neighborhood and in veterinarians' offices, is there anything telepathically that a pet owner can do to increase his or her chances of having their pet returned?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and I think the biggest thing you can do is stay positive. Stay positive and open to the situation. Visualize your pet coming back to you, putting out those positive energies and positive thoughts, because your animals will pick up on that. They're connected to you. They have that heart connection, and they'll feel your energy going out there. They'll know that you're being positive and trying to help them back. Now, you know, there's a lot of steps you can do, physical steps, you know, things that you need to do to put in place to help your chance of success, contacting local rescues and shelters and veterinarians, make sure that the animal is they have pictures of the animal and understand the situation, understand if there's a microchip in place so they can scan for that. Setting out the humane cat traps we talked about to help entice your cat to come back, as well as give them a protective area that you can focus on. There are a lot of steps, and if you go to my website, wagging-tails.com, there's a section in there on lost pets, and it gives you about a dozen or so steps that you need to take right away in order to give you a greater chance of success getting your pet back. But the biggest thing is to stay positive, put out that positive energy, focus, visualize that your animal is going to come back, and that will do wonders.
Now, you hear stories all the time about pets, cats, dogs. It doesn't really seem to matter which breed, but there are all these stories about where some dog leaves their house in Boston, turns up in Cuba, or something like this. Is there any one particular type of animal that tends to really move a long distance as opposed to an animal who would stay pretty much within the neighborhood?
Well, typically when an animal first leaves, they'll spend the first day or two, unless they've been scared away, they'll spend the first day or two sort of near the area. So that your greatest chance of success is to get a hold of someone to help you out, get a hold of me, get a hold of animal communicators, someone that can help you out in the early stages, because your animal is going to be fairly close by the first couple of days, and their focus is going to be less on survival and more on figuring out what's going on, exploring, knowing that there's a safe place to come back to. As time goes on, then they widen their parameters. They go off and explore. They start worrying about food, water, shelter, protection, and your chance of success gets less and less as time goes by. But particular types of animals know it. You know, an average dog, they say on average, could travel 6 miles in a day. Cats can do similar type of things. We've had everything WB that you could possibly think of. I've been contacted by people that have had dogs that leave, we'll say, Atlanta. They end up in St. Petersburg, Florida, days,
wow,
months later. We had a horse that was actually stolen from someone in Illinois, and we tracked it down to New Jersey. So, you know, it really runs the gambit of what animals are out there. We've had birds that have escaped, you know, African grays and cockatiels and things like that have gotten out, and some we've had success getting back, some we've identified where they're at, and some we haven't had success getting back.
I know that I'm in a real minority group. I was born and raised in Oklahoma. I have never been on a horse. And the reason I've never been on a horse is because they scare me to death. Right next door to where I live is a red barn with some beautiful quarter horses, and I'll go out there occasionally. I have permission to, you know, slip them an apple or a carrot every now and then, but I'm afraid to do that. And I know that's an irrational fear on my part, but is there any way that I should be approaching these animals so that I can reduce, A, my fear, and reduce the possibility of losing a digit or two to a hungry horse?
Well, the key thing is you've got to get rid of that fear, first of all. You know, the old the analogy of what you put out there, you get back. So if you're putting out fear, if you're putting out negative energy, the animals are going to pick up on that, and they're going to become fearful and act accordingly. So you got to clear your mind, feel positive about it, visualize that it's going to be a great experience. The first time, you know, that you put a carrot or apple in your hand and you actually walk out into the pasture and you put the palm of the hand out and the horse comes over and eats it gently off your hand, and it was a great success, you'll feel much better about it. I'll give you a real quick story here. It's a very fun story. We had on my website, once again, wagging-tails.com, there are some pictures of me with horses. And these are horses in a farm that's right at the road from us. I see them frequently, but I've never had the occasion to actually interface with them. On this particular day, when we took these pictures, we had a photographer come over and had a couple of people that do some PR work for me come over. And we were doing some photo shoots in the backyard with me and all my menagerie of animals that we have, and taking some pictures inside the house of the birds and the fish and et cetera. And they wanted to know ahead of time if we could do some work with horses, because I do quite a bit of work with horses. So I contacted the owner to see if we'd have access to the horses. And he said, feel free to come by. I won't be there, but just come by, visit with the horses, no problem. So we did. We drove to up to the farm. We went to the horses. Unfortunately, the horses were not up near the front gate. They're way out into the pasture. And the PR group and the photographer from New York City, who had never really even been near horses, let alone going out and tromping into fields where horses are at, you know, the pastures. He said, well, what the heck are we supposed to be doing? What can we do? I can take, you know, and get a telescopic lens and we can do something, but you won't be there. I said, well, let's come on and visit with them. He said, well, do you know these horses? I said, no, I don't know these horses, but it's going to be a positive experience. Feel good about it. So he reluctantly came with me. The PR group stayed behind the fence. And we walked out in the middle of the pasture. Didn't go up to the horses, but walked up in the middle of the pasture. I basically presented myself to the horses. Within 5 minutes, they came to me, and we fed
them.
Wow. Oh, great experience.
Wow. Tim, this hour has just zipped right by. Thanks a lot for being a guest on. I hope to have you on again sometime.
I look forward to it, WB. Thanks for your time tonight. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Don't forget to join us next week here on Skeptic Beliefs. We're going to be talking with Linnea Lee about the lost continent of Atlantis. We did not have a winner on our contest tonight, so what we're going to do is I'm going to carry that over to next week. All righty? All right. Until later on, it's W.B. Ford reminding you to keep believing and keep asking questions.